Right now, the U.S. Supreme Court is set to issue an opinion on Gill versus Whitford this summer. That's a case arguing that Wisconsin's political districts were gerrymandered or shaped for political gain.
But even when there aren't allegations of gerrymandering, redistricting can get complicated. Districts end up oddly shaped, respecting so-called communities of interest.
So what would a good congressional district map even look like? Garrett Dash Nelson tried to find out and wrote about it in a piece for the website City Lab. He's a historical geographer at the Society of Fellows at Dartmouth College, and he joins us now. Garrett, welcome to Central Time.
It's good to be here.
Why is redistricting so complicated?
Well, it's really hard to split up any type of space into segments that each have the same population. If you think about how states are laid out, some of them have one big city in the middle, some of them have many different sized cities spread out across different combinations of rural areas and unpopulated areas. So when you want to cut a state up into portions for electoral districts, it's really tricky to decide how best to do that in the fairest possible way.
And gerrymandering has only really loosely been defined legally so far. Why is that, and how do you define gerrymandering?
Yeah, so gerrymandering is usually used to refer to the process of dividing electoral districts up specifically so that one party has partisan advantage across a whole state or whatever kind of territory that you're districting. So if one party holds the basically strings or the, you know, the map drawing power, what they can do is they can draw shapes of districts that essentially maximize how many seats that they can get by creating as many possible districts that are favorable to their party and minimizing the number of districts that are favorable to another party. Now, it's really hard to define what counts as gerrymandering because people naturally cluster according to all sorts of reasons that aren't perfectly spread out, right? So you may have, for instance, more Democrats in a city and more Republicans in a rural area. So even if you were to, quote-unquote, naturally divide an area up into electoral districts, there might be a partisan imbalance there. What we want to find out with gerrymandering is basically there a even worse partisan imbalance than the one you might expect to find otherwise.
So what are some of the benchmarks that you look for that indicate that this is districting that has been put in place to favor one party or the other versus those kind of natural ways that people tend to cluster?
So up to this point, most political scientists and demographers and lawyers have basically looked at electoral outcomes. So if a state is, let's say, 55% Democratic voters, but 80% of the representatives end up being Republicans, that's a clue that gerrymandering has probably gone on. What I'm interested in as a geographer is, could you actually tell, based on the lines on the map, without even having to look at the electoral outcomes, without counting up how many Republicans, how many Democrats are in each district, how many Republicans, how many Democrats get elected to seats, could you actually look at those electoral borders and say, this one doesn't seem to make sense because it kind of either cuts crazily across the map, it doesn't really match with any type of community that we would recognize. Are there ways of finding gerrymandered patterns based on geography rather than based on partisanship?
Well, and you used what I thought was a really interesting element to look at whether these districts make sense or not, and it's data on how people commute. Why did you choose that as a point to use in looking at whether lines are drawn well or drawn poorly?
Yeah, so one of the hunches about the geography of electoral districts is that places that are connected together should ideally vote together, right? So a community that's connected by social, political, economic ties should, as much as possible, form a single electoral district. So the question becomes, how do you measure those kind of ties, right? There are all sorts of ways that people are connected across space. And just so happens that one of the kind of data sets that's both easy to measure and that we have pretty good comprehensive data on is commutes. So the U.S. Census Bureau looks at where people live and where they work, and the connection between those is basically treated as a commute. So when we look at commutes across an entire state, we can say that the areas where people are commuting back and forth kind of make up a community. Now, that's not a perfect definition, but it's a pretty good one. So, for instance, people in Dane County are probably commuting mostly to Madison, not so much to Superior or places
right.
on the other side of the state. So what we can do then when we're interested in electoral districting is to look at how well do the districts kind of encapsulate whole sets of commuters. We want districts that keep commuters together rather than cutting them apart.
We're talking right now with Garrett Dash Nelson. He's a historical geographer at the Society of Fellows at Dartmouth College, and we're talking about using commuter data to inform districting and redistricting. And Garrett, some states are already doing a good job kind of looking at this particular way of measuring it. What is it about those states, and what are some of the states that are doing well that put them in this category?
Well, most states actually have some sort of law on the books that says an electoral district should match what's called a community of interest, is typically the term that's used. The thing is that oftentimes they don't define these communities of interest very well. They say something along the lines of regions of a state that are connected by social or economic ties should stay together within a district. Now, again, that's kind of a combination of both data analysis and a hunch, right? You might have a sense of which part of a state kind of belongs together in that way. So some states have put districting in the hands of some nonpartisan entity, like a commission that's made up of representatives of both parties, or by maybe scientists or geographers or statisticians who sit on a board like that. And in those cases, they oftentimes do get it right in the sense of keeping these regions together as much as possible.
And what about states that aren't doing well, that don't score well on the ways of looking at good districting? What are they doing wrong?
Well, so again, when we look at these commuter patterns, essentially what we're doing is testing how many commuter patterns stay enclosed within a district and how many commuter patterns are cut across. How many electoral boundaries cut through big flows of commuters going from one place to the other. And when we find in a state, for instance, Pennsylvania, which has been in the news recently, when we find that the districts cut a lot of commutes, then that suggests to us that probably one party or the other has drawn some tricky lines in order to maximize their own advantage. It suggests that they're kind of cutting across these sort of natural clusters of where people live, and they're doing that essentially to rig the numbers of elections in their favor.
The U.S. Supreme Court is currently considering whether Wisconsin's districts were gerrymandered. You don't have Wisconsin as ranking as one of the best or the worst, so it's somewhere in the middle. What does Wisconsin look like when you use this kind of data?
Yeah, so I actually looked at how Wisconsin's state electoral districts, so not their, it's actually not the federal congressional mm-hmm. districts that are at issue here, but for the state assembly. One of the problems there is that assembly districts are so small that no matter how you draw them, they're going to cut some commuter borders. So it doesn't work quite as well as when we're talking about larger districts like a U.S. House district, but you can still actually put up or detect a pattern. So I looked at Wisconsin's assembly map before, is it 2012 or 2011, I think it mm-hmm. was redistricted, and then after. And the effect's much smaller than when you look at something like Pennsylvania's U.S. House districts, but it's there. So the newer map that was drawn by the Republicans actually does cut more commutes. It's worse in terms of containing commuter patterns. So again, what that offers us is some statistical evidence that gerrymandering has gone on here. that kind of evidence exists in other ways. The most famous is this statistic called the efficiency gap, which looks at the number of votes that are essentially wasted when a party doesn't win an electoral district. But what I'm trying to do is to look not just at the number of votes, not just in the partisan counts of each district, but actually how well or how poorly the districts match up with the kind of underlying patterns of human geography.
And Garrett, as we wrap up, I'm guessing this won't ever exist, but what would a perfect electoral map look like?
Well, that's one of the things that's so tricky, is there really is no perfect district for a couple of reasons. The first is that everything's sort of connected together, right? So you don't have any regions or, you know, urban areas that are totally cut off at their borders, that nobody connects across. That's just the way we live in this kind of spatially interconnected way. The second reason is that even if those did exist, they definitely wouldn't exist in the perfect numbers that, you know, you need a district to be. So it's not like a city gets to be about 600,000, which is the size of a U.S. House district, and then it just stops growing. So you have to cut through these areas somehow. So perfect isn't, I would say, what we're going after. What we're going after is electoral districts that make sense as much as possible, that as best as they can, given the constraints, try to respect the underlying geography of how people actually live.
Well, Garrett, thanks so much for joining us. Really interesting information.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure. Thanks for the chat.
Garrett Dash Nelson is a historical geographer. He was with us to imagine what a good electoral map could look like. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Chris Molina. You're listening to Central Time.